You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. It's a great time to talk with you. We just switched the calendar, and this is when all the gurus are out there making their predictions. But one thing I've learned from last year is that many of the predictions failed. In fact, if you think about the Federal Reserve, they were predicting they'd be lowering interest rates below 4% by coming into this year, and inflation would be falling. The CPI instead has ticked up in the last 2 months, and at the last Federal Reserve meeting, which came after we spoke together, they had to downgrade their predictions for interest rate cuts this year. So that just shows you how tough it is to predict the economy when the supposed best experts in the world failed last year.
Is there concern that we could be headed for stagflation?
Well, it seems like that's kind of where we're at. As I said, the CPI inflation has ticked up. The Federal Reserve, I've seen articles saying that they don't know where the so-called neutral rate is, and it could be right where rates are right now, which would mean inflation could even go up higher to where we're sitting at. But when it comes to the economy, while GDP growth was positive last year, much of the actual corporate earnings growth came with the so-called technology sector, NVIDIA, stocks like that. And there are many sectors where earnings barely grew at all and didn't even grow more than 3%. So in that aspect, it would seem, you know, the economy maybe not as strong as the headline GDP numbers suggest it is. And the sentiment among consumers and the average American has been pretty downbeat. That's, I would suggest, why Trump even won the election. People in polls were saying that the economy and the country is on the wrong track, and they are suffering from inflation, and the inflation hasn't gotten better since the election. So I would suggest the situation is not much different from what it was in October.
What do you think is going to happen with the stock markets? Have they topped out?
Well, we've had an interesting couple months in the financial markets. When I look at the averages, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, I can't give you a real definitive opinion on that. It looks to me like both averages are probably going to continue to do what they've been doing since after Thanksgiving, and that's drift in a sideways pattern. A support around 5,800 on the S&P 500 and resistance at 6,100. I could see it breaking to the upside in the next couple months or the first half of the year. So I'm not ready to call a top with the averages right now, but I'm seeing some warning signs with the market. I mentioned two. One, the VIX index, which measures volatility premiums paid for S&P 500 options, is called the fear index because it tends to go up when people get worried and feel like they have to hedge their bets, and they do it by scrambling to buy put options. Well, the VIX index had a massive spike in August, the biggest spike, I think, in the history of the whole index, in fact, on a percentage basis. And then there was a similar spike in December, right after the last Federal Reserve meeting. And that's very unusual to happen during a bull market, for the VIX to spike twice in 1 year that close together in terms of time, and is more something that occurs when a market is at the end of a bull market or in a topping phase. And topping phases can last months, even a year, for that matter. So that's a warning sign. Secondly, which kind of is linked to that, is that the internals of the stock market have been weakening since Thanksgiving, too. For example, the advanced decline line is acting very sluggish, and the percentage of stocks on the trade on the New York Stock Exchange above their 200-day moving averages, well, that percentage was at 72% on Thanksgiving Day, and when the market closed this past Wednesday, it stood at 52%. That's a sharp plunge in the number of stocks above the 200-day moving average. It suggests that there's been some selling inside the stock market that isn't evident when you just look at the averages. And the reason for that is that the averages are heavily weighted, heavily influenced by a few stocks that market cap weight the averages. For example, Apple, Amazon, NVIDIA, Meta, and so forth, those wonderful big cap tech stocks that people have talked about so much for the past several years. They are helping prop the averages up. That's something unusual. They've been doing that for a long time. What is unusual and noteworthy is that plunge in the internals. And again, that's a warning sign, and that's a development that can continue for months before it really matters. And if it continues for several months, it will likely lead to a significant correction in the stock market, maybe 15%, 20%, or a bear market, but at least a correction. So this decline in the internals last took place in 2022, and it continued all year. Then the stock market had a bear market the following year. It also took place in 2018, ahead of a 20% decline. Also took place in 2016, ahead of what was another 20% decline. But this has only been going on for 3 weeks. So, you know, if it's going on for 6 months, then I would be concerned. And one thing I'm looking at is, you know, if you think back to 2018, the stock market was rallying in 2017 into the passage of the Trump tax cuts. And this year, the big anticipation in Washington, and it's not exactly clear how it's going to play out yet, but the Republicans are going to pass the Trump agenda, which includes renewing and maybe even those 2017 tax cuts, maybe creating more tax cuts of some sort. But his agenda is also putting money, more money, into national defense, in creating some sort of immigration roundup system, maybe camps of some sort, which would require employing lots more people to identify the people to be rounded up and to operate the camps, and then, you know, expel them from the country. But he can't do that as soon as he gets in office, because there's no infrastructure for this to acquire money. And the question the debate among Republicans in the Senate and Congress, the leadership, is whether to make two bills to create this agenda. The tax bill would be second, in an energy immigration bill first, or to put them all into one giant bill. But either way, it would seem that the timeline they're talking about is late spring or summer for the tax cuts. So when I think back to 2018, the market rallied into the passage of the tax cuts, went up a little bit more, and then just dumped 20% the Dow is down 10% in like a flash crash type situation. But I don't think the same thing's exactly going to happen again. But this could be a buy the rumor, sell the news trend that we're in, where people are buying stocks, even though inside the market there's a lot of sluggish activity, and at some point they're going to sell when the tax cuts materialize and take profits. So we've had a tremendous run in the last 2 years, and I think the risks are that we are going to get some sort of correction play out before this year is over inside the stock market. Another factor too is the bond market. The bond yields are creeping up because, as I said when we started, inflation is not going away, and the bond market's reacting to that, and that could also hurt the stock market. You know, in 2023, there was a pullback that October around 10% that coincided with a rise in the 10-year Treasury bond yield up to 5%. Well, a similar thing could also play out, or the market might ignore the rise in the yields up to 5% and then just dump when it hits it. So there's a lot of, you know, I'm not real excited about piling money into stocks with new buys right now. All that said, I do own stocks. I do own gold. I do own silver, and I expect gold and silver to do very well this year. You're already seeing that the first week of the year, where they're up and stuff like crypto is down, and we got global tensions that are simply going to increase, and central banks around the world are going to keep buying gold. The Bank of China just did it in the last 2 months after suspending its gold sales for 6 months. They're stepping back in, and they're not the only ones, I'm sure.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, what's happening in the crude market?
Well, crude didn't do much last year. It was fairly weak. Energy stocks are one of the few sectors of the market that actually had, you know, a down year. But at this point, I'm fairly optimistic about crude this year, because we saw crude pull back down to about $67 a barrel in December, and I think that 60 to 65 level was pretty much a floor. It's acted as a floor for the past couple years, and now we bounced back up to 74. I'm not necessarily thinking energy is going to just go to the moon, but we don't know. You know, that if there's another incident in the Middle East, more tensions between Israel and Iran, or the United States gets involved, and, you know, part of the Trump agenda is to help Israel with Iran in some way or another. We're not sure how it's going to play out, if it's going to mean a tax or tariffs, but the potential is there for, you know, some sort of trouble in the Middle East, further troubles in the Middle East, and that could make energy go up. But even if that doesn't happen, at these levels, I think energy and energy stocks are interesting to me. In fact, the energy stock sector, if I had, you know, again, I say this, I own stocks, I already have my positions, I'm not looking to do anything myself because I don't need to, but if I was completely in cash, the energy sector would be somewhere I'd be looking to put money to use, because it didn't go up that much last year, and it pulled back pretty hard in November and December. And I think there's value there. A lot of energy companies pay big dividends. British Petroleum, or BP, Amoco, pays around a 6% dividend. One sector that I don't own now, but I had in the past, is the shipping stock sector. It's linked to energy, transporting, you know, oil around the world. It tends to pay big dividends. It had a huge dump last year, and if it's bottoming out, which it could be, that's somewhere that looks compelling to me because those stocks pay pretty hefty dividends.
What's going on with copper?
Well, copper, too, is interesting right now. You know, last year, copper had a tremendous run from March to May when gold broke through 2100 and silver ticked up, too. Copper went up faster than both. And it was something like a short squeeze. I mean, it almost doubled in price. And then it had a significant pullback into August, and it's since been going sideways. But it looks to me like it's put in a low above, you know, around the $4 level, and it's trading at 4.25. That's the futures contract. So I think it's an interesting position. And the copper companies all had significant pullbacks too, and they may put in interesting price bottom. Some of them are paying pretty sizable dividends at these levels too.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
Well, I would just like to finish by saying that if we look back at last year, you know, the biggest noteworthy thing, you know, we saw gold go up and silver go up, and it was fun, but the biggest noteworthy thing is what was unusual, and that is that when the Federal Reserve began to lower interest rates in September, the bond market, the yields on bonds, treasury bonds, went up instead of down, and the bond market did not act as the Federal Reserve wants. It is a mess, and it's still not acting like the Federal Reserve wants. You know, when the Fed lowers rates, you would think your credit card interest, your mortgage rates, and so forth will go down. They did not, because the treasury bond yields went up. And that's a sign of people worried about the growing national debt, and also that inflation is much worse than the Fed thought it was or predicted it would be. It's not going away. And it's going to mean that when there is a recession sometime in the future, it'll be harder for interest rate policy changes to have the impact they typically would. And this is going to be a conundrum for the economy, for, you know, the politicians and for investors too. And from the investor standpoint, if you go back to that nasty last real bear market that took place in the financial markets in 2022. In that year, the S&P 500 went down roughly 25%, but bond funds also fell. And that went against all of what we were taught and told to expect to happen. We were always trained to believe that when the stock market fell, your bond funds would go up, so they'd act as safe havens. That completely failed in 2022, and the current way these things are trading suggests to me that it will be another similar thing will happen the next time there's a real bear market, whether that starts this year or next year, whenever it is. And that's something all long-term investors need to think about, and the solution to that problem is gold. Gold went up in 2022, and I think gold is going to act as an alternative safe haven, or it really already is, going forward. It is for central bankers around the world. There's no doubt about that. You think about China. China is not buying U.S. treasury bonds in any capacity, not like they did in the decades before. Instead, they're accumulating gold on their reserves. And if you want to think like a real sophisticated investor, that's what you need to think about. I need an alternative to bonds. That's gold. think like a central banker, and think of gold not as simply something that can go up, because it can, but something that it can act as a safe haven the next in your portfolio the next time there's a real bear market. So that's why I have a heavy position in my investment accounts in metals ETFs, and I'm very happy to continue to hold it going forward.
Mike, before we go, you noticed something interesting in what Americans hold the most of.
Yeah, I was doing some look this morning, and there's various Bitcoin ETFs that launched in 2024, and as things stand now, Americans have more money in those exchange-traded funds than they do the gold funds, like GLD, then there's a half a dozen other ones. So that's, to me, just amazing.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.